Today we continue with the story of David. We continue with our sermon series about the heart of David. And today we talk about and share a story that we all know. We all know real well. Most of us have heard this story from childhood. And in fact, this is the most popular story about David. If you know any story, if you've heard any story at all, most likely you've heard the story about David and Goliath. And this is not necessarily, not so much a story about a young man being triumphant over a huge giant, but it's a story of how God delivered him, and how David was full of faith. That his heart was full of faith and complete trust in God. And so our heart today, for today, has the word faithful on it. And it's a stone color to remind us of the stone that David used to slay the giant. And there's a lot to be said about using a stone instead of the sword or the spear or anything else. It shows David's faith. And so we're going to place the heart here to remind us of another part of David's heart, that he was full of faith, faithful. Now, we didn't forget about your little paper hearts. They're going to come a little bit later. You're going to get those to take those home to remind you of what it is to have that faith, to follow with David, to put your trust in God, to have a faithful, faithful heart. You know, when we look at this story, and when we read into it, and when we pay attention not to just what we remember as children or as we tell it to our children, but when we dig into the text, we see that there is so much here. Did you hear how long the story was? Cole was up here for a long time reading, and we took some of the verses out. It is a long story, and it's a story that has a lot of detail. It's a story that is telling us different things. At the heart of the story, yes, of course, is that David had a heart full of faith, that he completely trusted in God, that he wasn't afraid at all, but that he responded and he acted in that faith, and he was triumphant. But we begin to see other currents within the story that lead us toward a deeper meaning of how faithful he was and what that faith meant and how that came to be. As we look in the text, we see that there are some other things that are happening if we pay close attention, and things that we need to hear, things that we need to understand, things that will help us to grow in faith and to have a brave heart. I think with looking at the story, one of the points that's important to realize and to point out is that before David became warrior, before he went out to battle, that David was a proclaimer. He was a preacher. Not technically, but he was talking about God. You know how the story unfolds. You've heard the story today. The Philistines were gathering up camp against Israel. Israel, they had met together there in the valley. They were ready for battle. And the giant, this Goliath, comes out. And he says, let's make this simple in a way. He says, I'll just challenge one of yours. You just come. Bring me your finest soldier, and we'll fight together. And if he beats me, if he kills me, then we'll just submit and serve you. The Philistines will become your servants. But if I beat him, then you have to serve us. And so here the Goliath comes out, and he puts forth this challenge. And of course, everybody in Israel is afraid. They're shaking about this because he's huge. And nobody in their army is any match for him. And so all of a sudden, David shows up. David is not part of the army. He's not invited to the fight. He's too young. He's got to stay with the sheep. But his dad says, I want you to go bring some supplies to your brothers. Get word of them. I want to know what they're doing, how they're doing. And David shows up in the camp. And as he shows up, he can sense the fear. This has been going on for days. And the people of Israel, the armies of Israel, are captured in fear. And David can sense this, and he feels it. And then he hears Goliath come out and offer his challenge. And what does David do? David begins to talk about God. David begins to bring up God's name. In verse 26, David says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Everybody else is captured in fear. Everybody else is talking about Goliath and how big he is and how strong he is and how nobody can handle him. And David comes in and starts to proclaim. He starts to talk about God. And as he moves through the ranks, he's gone from soldier to soldier, and word gets to Saul that David sounds like someone that may step up to the challenge. So Saul invites him, brings him. Saul knows who David is. David has been playing the lyre for him. And he comes, and as soon as David comes up to Saul, he says, "My king, don't worry about anything. Your servant will go and take care of this Philistine." And Saul says, "Wait a minute. Have you seen this guy? He's huge. And he's been killing men since he was a youth, and you are just a boy." And what does David do? David starts to testify. David begins to bear witness. David says, "Saul, let me tell you something." David reaches back into his memory, into those moments in the field when he can feel God is with him, to those times when he remembered that God has delivered him. And he said, "Saul, I'm going to tell you that I've been out in the field watching over my sheep. And there have been times when a lion would come and a bear would attack, and they would grab a hold of the lamb, and I would reach into the beast's mouth and I would pull the lamb out. And then if it came after me, I would attack it, and I have killed both the bear and the lion." And David says, "God, who has delivered me from the paw of the bear and the lion, will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He shall be like one of them." David begins to proclaim God. He begins to bear witness. He is talking about God. And then when he goes out to face the giant, when he goes out to face Goliath, Goliath is poking fun of him and is angry and upset. "What am I, a dog, that you come at me with sticks?" And David proclaims God's name even there. "You come with to me with sword and spear, with javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord." That is our key verse today. The battle belongs to the Lord. And here, David is proclaiming God's name. He's proclaiming what God is going to do. He dares to speak, to talk about God when everybody else is talking about the giant. And this talk, this speech, this proclamation, in a way, becomes contagious. For here we see that that when he's talking to Saul, Saul the king, Saul the one who is in charge of the armies, who has been living in fear, who is afraid about what has happened, Saul responds to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul, who hasn't mentioned God's name before, when he sees David, he begins to talk. He begins to live in faith. And that faith begins to spread. Because when you think about it, I know that Saul has lost God's favor. Saul has done things that he's not supposed to do. He's not following directions. He's doing things his own way. But here in a moment, even Saul acts in a word of faith, in a deed of faith, because it takes a lot of faith for Saul to allow David to go into battle. It takes a lot of faith because everything is riding on this one battle, on this one boy. Because if they lose, then they become enslaved by the Philistines. This talk, this proclamation becomes contagious. Before David becomes a warrior, a fighter, he becomes a preacher. He talks about God. He proclaims the truth. Isn't there a message for us here? Are we too afraid sometimes to talk about God? Are we caught up in times in our own fears and we see the obstacles, we see the danger, we see the evil, and we don't even talk about God? May we find the faith to speak God's name, to begin to talk about God, to begin to bear witness, to testify to where God has used us and called us. May we speak about God and allow that talk to grow our faith. What we also find in this story is that God does not need us or His servants to be well equipped in the understanding of the world. For we understand and we know that they tried to equip Saul with the finest equipment. We also know that Goliath was well equipped. The Scripture tells us, talks to us about everything that he has. And what we begin to see is that we're not sure why he had to have all of this equipment, because he's huge, he's tall, I mean, and he's got all of this stuff. I mean, he could whip any of them by himself, maybe 10 of them at a time just by his strength. Now, the text tells us that he was about 6 cubic feet tall, and we're not exactly sure how to translate that measurement but some have said that that means that he was about 9, maybe 9.5 feet tall in today's standard. Could you imagine that? That's taller than any human being that we know of have seen of today. And so, in comparison, to think about 9 feet tall, I'm about 5'10", or actually I'm 5'10", not quite 6 feet tall. I'm maybe average height, regular size man. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a hook up there. And that's probably somewhere between 9 and 9.5 feet high from this platform. And so that's the size of Goliath. He's huge. Not only that, he's well equipped. He has a helmet that's made of bronze. He's got a breastplate there that weighs 6,000 shekels. It's huge. It's big. He covers his sheaves with the greaves to keep his legs protected. He has a javelin over his shoulder. And then a spear. He has a spear. And it says that the spear, the rod, is like a, the shaft is like a weaver's rod, which means it's big, it's strong. And the tip of it weighs 600 shekels, and that's probably somewhere around 50 to 60 pounds. Could you imagine all of that weight at the end of his shaft? And the thing about Goliath is, being 9 feet tall, he's going to have a long enough reach anyway, but that big, long shaft, he's going to be hard to get to. And this thing is so thick, his spear is so thick, that you're not going to be able to break it and tear it apart. He's so well equipped that he even has his own shield bearer. I'm going to knock all the stuff over. He's got his hands full. He can't hold his shield, so his shield bearer goes in front of him, and he's well equipped. And when David goes to Saul to talk about facing this giant, Saul wants to equip David. He wants to equip him with the finest equipment that he has at his disposal, the greatest armor that he has. So he offers his own armor. And we know how it goes. David puts on the breastplate. He puts on all of the equipment. He even takes out Saul's sword, and it's huge, and he can hardly even move. He's got the best sword, the most finest sword, the most finest equipment, but he can't move. He's like Andy, wearing my suit. She can't walk around. It doesn't fit. So the best equipment is of no use. And so what does David do? He takes it all off. He picks up what he has. He picks up a sling. He goes to the creek. He's equipped at the creek with 5 smooth stones. I don't know exactly how to do this, but he takes that sling and he uses it. He lets go and he takes down the giant. Now I've got to ask you, if you were going in to face the biggest enemy you have ever seen, if you were going out into the most important battle, what would you choose? All of the equipment, the finest equipment, or just a simple sling? It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? It seems crazy. It takes a lot of faith to choose a sling. God does not need us to be well equipped by the world's standard. God needs us to have a heart of faith. A heart full of faith, knowing that God is with us, that the battle belongs to the Lord. For people to just jump up. I mean, when you look at David, when you think about what he did, I just want to be like him. I just want to have faith like him. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live with doubt. I just want to have that faith and that trust that is ready to jump into action. David didn't have an ounce of fear with him. He just knew. His heart was full of faith. And a heart full of faith in God is better equipped than whatever the world can provide. God doesn't need us to be well equipped in the world standard. He just needs us to have a heart of faith. Then another point that we see in this story that's working underneath, in the currents underneath, is that David is becoming the king that God desires, that God wants. Saul was anointed king, chosen by God, but God had rejected Saul. You know, Saul's job as king was to take care of the Philistines. And he didn't do it. He didn't follow directions. He didn't do everything that God had asked him to do. He started coming up with his own reasons, his own thoughts, and he wasn't following God. And there was a time when he was tired of waiting for Samuel to come for the sacrifice, and so he did the sacrifice himself as if to say, this is just show, and I'll just do it to make everybody happy, but we need to get on to the real business. And he misunderstood that that was the business. Being faithful to God is the business. And here Saul is living in a state of fear. His whole army, the army of God, is in fear because of Goliath. And David comes and speaks the name of God. He equips himself with what he has. And he takes care of the giant. David is becoming the king that God desires. If the people have to have a king, what God wants is a king who will not rely on his own strength, but a king who will step out and lead the people to understand that God is their true king. That God is the one who is faithful to them. And David is reaching out, talking about God, acting in the faith of God, and becoming that king that God desires. For us in the church, leadership in the church is not about making everything about us, but it's about being that first follower who will act out, who will step out in faith, and lead people to follow Christ. David becomes the king that God desires because his heart is full of faith, because he calls on God's name, he puts his trust in God. And isn't there a message in this story for us? For the church. We are God's church. We are called by God. And there are other kingdoms, and there are evil forces that stand up and threaten. There are false kingdoms that vie for our attention, that tell us we need to be equipped in a certain way. All we truly need is that heart of David, a heart full of faith. God is calling us. God has given us a mission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded. He's given us a mission to go and make disciples and to help bring apart His kingdom here on earth. And we can do that. We can do that when we have the heart of David. A heart of faith that's not afraid of any obstacles or any danger or any evil. That doesn't look to equip ourselves with what the world sees is valuable, to go out and to recall the times when God has been with us and to speak God's name. And we can be successful. We can be true. May we have the heart of David. May we step out in faith and do something big for our God who is good.